Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Sorry I ran out of time for my last thought from the great question from our listener, Chad in Greenfield. We're joined this hour by Dr. Katie Bartson-Culver of UW-Madison. She's an expert in media and journalistic ethics. Chad made the point, Katie, that he didn't think what Jimmy Kimmel said was funny, and he made the point that Roseanne Barr got basically fired for saying things that some people thought were offensive and asking the question, what's the difference? And you wanted to respond.
Yeah, I agree with Chad that I, in general, don't find Jimmy Kimmel particularly funny as a comic, and I don't watch him. And that's the market at work. So you see declining ratings for late night TV, and I'm in the camp that that was also at play in the Colbert decision, not just the Skydance deal. It was a very complex situation. Yep. But I want to use that Barr situation as an example of a larger point here and something that we should all be aware of. I really hate the term cancel culture. I think we should be thinking of it instead as consequence culture. So Roseanne Barr put out a really hateful, disgusting, racist tweet. And Disney canceled her show. And that's a consequence. She made a choice to do that, and that's a consequence. They did that because they were going to, they have an obligation to their shareholders, they were going to lose advertisers. There are all sorts of reasons that a company would do that. They made that decision as a private entity. There was no government pressure making them do that. In Kimmel's case, we're talking about the FCC here. So there's a consequence, but there's a government actor involved. And so the larger issue is that we all, regardless of our political ideology, we all should be concerned about the consequences that flow when a government exerts its power over our beliefs and our rights to free expression. So when the chairman of the FCC, whether he is coming from Donald Trump's perspective or Joe Biden's perspective, is trying to control the content of a late night talk show, that should scare me. And it does scare me. And, you know, I don't agree with what Jimmy Kimmel said in this situation. I didn't find it funny, but I'm going to defend his right to say it. And I'm also going to wish that ABC stood up more strongly, and I'm going to say that no, I absolutely disagree with Chairman Carr that this means that local stations have more voice and are serving the public, because any locality in the United States that's served by Nexstar had no choice whatsoever in this decision. You could have had all the Jimmy Kimmel fans in the world, and they had no choice. So the larger issue here is the consequence for all of us when government exerts power over content.
It's called censorship, and that's what our Constitution is supposed to guard against. And if you missed it, Brendan Carr in 2019 and 2022 defending the idea that speech should not be censored by the government, saying political satire is one of the oldest and most important forms of free speech, saying this, quote, the FCC does not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of the public interest. But, oh, today, Brendan Carr says this. Broadcasters have long retained the right to not air national programs that they believe are inconsistent with the public interest, including their local community's values. But here, the pressure on those affiliates is coming from Carr. You heard in the first sound clip we played this afternoon, Brendan Carr potentially threatening the local affiliates' licenses. That is what's happening here. So when it was President Joe Biden, Brendan Carr is all about the FCC should not have a roving mandate to police speech in the name of the public interest, and that political satire is an important form of free speech. Now, when it's Donald Trump in the White House, when it's his guy and his team, then he says, yep, broadcasters should pull programs that they believe are inconsistent with the public interest, and also said they might review those licenses and potentially seek revocation of those licenses from those affiliates. That's the problem here. That is what Katie, Dr. Bartson Culver, and I are trying to describe. Last question, Dr. Bartson Culver. How important is a free press? How important is free speech in a functioning democracy?
I don't know how you have a democracy without it. I would amend your statement just a bit.
Sure.
I would say a free and responsible press. Mm. I think too often we think about our rights and we don't think about our responsibilities. And that has caused us to squander trust with the public. I think you heard a bit of that in some of the comments here. But I don't see how you have, how we function as a democracy without a free and responsible press.
We cannot function as a democracy without a free and responsible press. You know, we got rid of the equal time rule a long time ago. We used to read newspapers where the op-ed pages in hard copy had pro and con right next to it. Now, most of us consume news through what I'm going to call a confirmation bias machine, because that's what Facebook is, that's what X is, that's what every social media company does. It feeds you only the things that it knows you want to hear, see, and read. It's up to us to look more broadly and seek responsible media outlets. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Dr. Bartson Culver, for sticking around for a whole hour. When we come back on the other side, I'll be joined by former Green Beret, retired U.S. Army, and whistleblower Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, talking about potentially war crimes that he personally witnessed in Gaza. Stay tuned, folks. Another great discussion is up next here on the Civic Media Radio Network.